We continue. This is Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, yes, your life, Rocket can. 855-212-4CBS. I'm going to jump on in, 855-212-4227. And make sure you always follow us on social media, Twitter, Instagram. We're on the cesspool of Twitter. We're on Instagram over at Straight Flexin', at Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB. So I got to get into Derrick Henry and this whole situation right now. He is today not given a new contract in terms of extra length added onto the contract. He was just given extra money. So Derrick Henry got more money today when they fine-tuned the contract, restructured the contract, gave him a bump in pay, but he's still a free agent after the 2023 season. Now, when I look at the state of the Tennessee Titans, I don't think they're making the playoffs this year. Now, is it inconceivable for them to make the playoffs this year? No, it's like they can make the playoffs. It's either going to be them or it's going to be the Indianapolis Colts. I personally, and you guys know me, I do not like the Colts. I don't want to root for the Colts. The Colts haven't won this division since 2014. But the Colts, when I look at now the injury to Harold Landry, now he's going to be out for the year. You don't have A.J. Brown anymore. I don't know what Treylon Burks is going to be. Robert Woods is good, but he's coming off an injury. I don't trust Ryan Tannehill. I look at that Tennessee team and I see flaws. Now, are the Colts this unbelievable product? Are the Colts this great football team? No. They're a good football team. They got a good defense. They got a really good offensive line. They have a great running back. Wide receivers, iffy. I like Michael Pittman Jr., but he's got to show me he can be number one wide receiver in this league. He hasn't shown me that yet. And then you have a quarterback in Matt Ryan, who I trust a lot more, where he was in a dreadful situation the last few years, but I trust him a lot more, not only in Indianapolis, but a lot more than the last quarterback in Carson Wentz, where if Carson Wentz would have just had a pulse in that game up against Jacksonville, the Colts could have gone to the playoffs last year and should have gone to the playoffs last year. So I am giving the slight edge, holding my nose when I do so because I don't like to pick the Indianapolis Colts because they stink. And I'm going to tell you the Colts are going to win the division. And I look at Tennessee, and I think there's flaws on this football team. And they had a great team last year. You lose Derrick Henry on October 31st, and you're still the number one seed in the AFC. That's impressive, but come playoff time, you choked. Your quarterback wasn't good enough. Your quarterback was throwing interceptions like Oprah Winfrey when she throws out Christmas presents during the holiday season. That was Ryan Tannehill. You got to pick, you got to pick, you got to pick. It was ugly. It was horrific. It was horrible. Any words you want to say when talking about Ryan Tannehill in that playoff game that puts him in a negative light, you could use. Because he sucked in that postseason game up against the Cincinnati Bengals. So now this year, I look at their best player. It's still King Henry. It's still we know how great Derrick Henry is with Tennessee. But if I'm Derrick Henry, and I have 2 years left of my contract, I got more money today, this year and then next year, what makes me want to stay there long term? Or a better question, what makes me want to stay there after this season? And we know in an era of player empowerment, now just because you ask for a trade, you don't get it. But if I'm Derrick Henry and you feel like Tennessee's going where they're going down a path and a road where their best football is now going to be behind them instead of in front of them, and you're eventually going to have to get rid of Tannehill, we'll see what Malik Willis can develop into, I'm not going to want to be a part of this retooling and rebuilding of Tennessee if I'm Derrick Henry, because what do we say about running backs all the time? The shelf life of a running back in this league is not long. And Derrick Henry is a physical, bruising, unbelievable force. So that's why if I'm Derrick Henry, I'm going into this season thinking that this could be my last in Tennessee, even though I'll be under contract for another year. Because if I can't go out there and win a Super Bowl, why would I want to stay in Tennessee? And I don't think Tennessee is close to winning a Super Bowl. And I think they've taken a massive step back this offseason. And if they don't make the playoffs, if I'm Derrick Henry, I'm going right to John Robinson and Mike Vrabel and saying it's time to end this partnership. And even though you could say, Zach, it's crazy to get rid of Derrick Henry, if you're Tennessee, wouldn't you rather get something back for Derrick Henry if it's going to take you 2-3 years maybe to get back into that mode where you feel like you have a really great team? Because 2-3 years from now, we don't know what Derrick Henry is going to be like. And we don't know how quickly Malik Willis is going to develop. And we don't even know if Malik Willis is going to be a guy that's going to get a significant opportunity. He looked good in the preseason, but there was a reason he was drafted in the third round. So what about that theory there, Ryan? That this could potentially be Derrick Henry's final year with Tennessee.
I get it from Derrick Henry's perspective, and obviously it's a little dependent on how this season goes, but if we are both right in the midst of the playoffs, you're going to start looking at the future a lot quicker than you were, like, let's say, last year. If you're Tennessee, though, what's the incentive?
Well, you get some draft capital back. I don't know if you get a first-round pick. Derrick Henry's a great player, but you get a second-round pick back?
You think? For a guy 1 year left on his deal, I get it. Now, if he runs
he's
for 1,500 yards this season, great. He's also older. There's a lot of wear and tear on that body. The question is, how long are you going to have a second-round pick for a guy who's unsure if you can hold up? I don't know.
Well, why are you unsure if he can hold up? He just had an injury last year. If that doesn't happen again this year, if he plays 17 games this year, I don't think there's going to be concerns about his longevity.
No, if he plays a full season this year, no. But is that a guarantee? Like, it's a running back position. Everyone gets worn down.
In the words of Kyle Shanahan, we could all be dead tomorrow.
Right. But I'm just saying, he missed 8 games last year, or 9 games last year, I should say. I want to see him, see how he comes back and bounces back.
And you also got to remember, because you say, what would be the incentive for Tennessee trying to make it up that there's not going to be that much of a market? This is a copycat league. Les Snead said, F those picks. If you think you're a team that is one player away from winning a Super Bowl, I would easily give up a second-round pick for Derrick Henry, if that's what the return would be. And I would even make it a conditional second-round pick, depending on how much success he had.
I guess we'll see how this season goes, right? Obviously, that's going to dictate it. If I'm Tennessee, at least right now where I am, I would rather this year or next year kind of go all in on a Super Bowl, see what you can get with Derrick Henry, and if it doesn't work out, I'd rather just try for 2 years and risk losing him for nothing.
Wait, time out. When you say all in on a Super Bowl, you're saying this season or next season?
Yeah, this season and next season.
You think this team has any shot of winning a Super Bowl this year?
No.
No.
But you go try for one. I'm saying you don't, you know.
So this offseason, that means you have to go get a new quarterback. Because Malik Willis is not walking in first year winning a Super Bowl.
I would agree.
So you didn't have to go get a quarterback.
Maybe, well, you're probably stuck.
Maybe you call Tom Brady again and try to get him.
Maybe 10 times a charm. And if you can, that, I think, also changes the calculus.
Yeah, I don't think that's likely, by the way. Especially when you read some things about Tom Brady in Page Six, where Giselle is now upset with him and she's gone somewhere else. And that's why Brady stepped away from the team, what I was reading in Page Six. And I said this from the start. Not to do the whole I told you so, but when Brady retired and came back, you said, why do you think that's the case? I think I said to you that I believe he had to retire to push Giselle off a little bit, and then eventually Giselle would get on board or say, Tom, do what you want, and then he was going to come on back. And now there seems like there's some friction in that household. Now, couples fight all the time. I'm not saying they're going to go get a divorce, but that was talked about in an article today, how Giselle and Tom Brady are having some friction in the household right now. And she may not even be in the household right now from that article on Page Six. So maybe Brady, at the end of this year, to save his marriage, goes as my final season, and I'll go take all the money from Fox. But still, they have to put some dedication into that craft for the Fox job as well. So can't wait to see really what happens there and what's the resolution. All right, let's get up to the biggest stories of the day right now, and we'll play you some audio. Let's get to the news brief. Let's roll.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Russell Wilson, now locked into the Denver Broncos for 7 seasons, had a 2-year deal, and did sign a 5-year extension today. 5 years, $245 million, $165 million guaranteed. Russell Wilson on why he didn't try to test the QB market a few years from now.
To me, what it's really about is being able to win championships and being able to have enough space in the salary cap so George can make his magic and we can get guys like Randy Gregory when he comes on the team or other great players, you know. And I think that we want to make this a destination location. I think that it's one of those things we have amazing tradition, an amazing football team.
Russell Wilson, and why you wanted to stay in Denver long term.
This team is really special. As I mentioned at the very beginning, this team is unique. It's dedicated to the craft. We have an amazing journey ahead of us, and I can't wait for it.
I don't know about you, Ryan. This is so bizarre because he got traded there. He had a no trade clause, so he had to clearly waive it. And yes, he only had 2 years left on his deal, but did anyone doubt that this deal was actually to get done? I know you have to go through your press conference, you have to speak to the media and do all that stuff, but I never even thought this was a talking point. The moment he got traded there, 2 years left of the deal, they'll get a contract done eventually. It wasn't a matter of if they'll get a deal done, just when. And today was the day that they said, okay, let's cross all the T's, dot all the I's, and put the pen to paper and sign it for Russell Wilson.
Right, which is why it really wasn't a discussion point, right?
Yeah.
Like quarterback contracts, it's Lamar. Russ, I don't think we brought up once this offseason about, you know, a new contract.
Honestly, I just assumed that he got the, I know he didn't get an extension done, but in my line of thinking, I'm like, all right, he's locked in there for the rest of his career. When they get the deal done, they get the deal done. Mike McDaniel, he named Tua Tagovailoa captain today. He explains how much Tua's teammates respect him.
The players vote for who they want to represent them as captain. And seeing how, it was a point system, and the resounding highest point winner was Tua, I think it says everything. I think that's incredibly important when it's done with the right reasons, with the right intent. And that was, the only thing that I gave the players was, like, who do you want representing you each and every game? Who do you want to wear the C and understand what that C means on your jersey? That I think it speaks volumes on where he's at with the team.
So I do believe Mike McDaniel's effusive praise this offseason for Tua Tagovailoa is genuine. Tyreek, I question, because I think at first he was trying to hype up his guy, and then the measures that he went to, it's just not believable to me. At least, even though I'm not a huge fan of saying Mike McDaniel's going to be a great coach, McDaniel actually makes you believe what he says about Tua. When it comes to Tyreek, when you start comparing the things that Patrick Mahomes does, you just totally lose me. There are no excuses, though, this year for Tua. You have the support of your coach. For now, your star wide receiver believes in you. They got you Tyreek Hill. You also have a good relationship with Jalen Waddle. You got a good defense. You improved your offensive line. They're going to commit to running the football. I know you're a Tua believer, Ryan, but if Tua doesn't play well this year, then that's it for him in Miami, right? That's when you jump off the bandwagon. You go, okay, I got fooled a few times. I'm not going to get fooled like 3 or 4 times.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, this is all or nothing.
Let's go to A-Rod. This has to be marinated in sarcasm. Would you agree with that? I have not heard this yet, but I would assume when I read the slug line of Alex Rodriguez teases a comeback to the MLB to race Albert Pujols to 700 home runs, and this is via A-Rod's Twitter, is this marinated in sarcasm, yes or no?
You would think, but I will caveat with it's A-Rod.
Okay, let's hear A-Rod.
My main man, Albert Pujols, you're 2 home runs shy of tying me for 696 home runs. You see me rocking my pinstripes, and now that 13's available back with the Yankees, I may have to make a little comeback and race you to 700. What do you say?
That's trying to be funny. That's A-Rod always trying to be in the news. That was cringeworthy audio. I cringe when I hear that, Ryan. And I haven't even seen the video, just hearing that. You could tell how fake it is and just sarcastic it is. And, oh, let's have a little playful challenge and make this story about me. That's the way it comes off to me.
I mean, Yankees do need a bat. I mean, 1 month ago?
It's an A-bomb from A-Rod. John, out of all the dramatic things I've ever seen, Alex Rodriguez is back in the Bronx to help the Yankees and get him 700 home runs. Oh, my God, John.
We thought the Maguire-Sosa race was intense 20 years ago. How about the A-Rod Pujols race to 700 for two guys that, well, A-Rod definitely washed
it's like
up.
Like 2 snails now.
Yeah, holy.
We're once a great product, but now it'd be like 2 snails, 2 old guys just crawling to the finish line. And finally, Joe Buck reveals why what Tony Romo told him after a golf tournament, this courtesy of the New York Post.
All I know is I saw Romo at the Tahoe golf tournament, and I'm eating dinner with the guy that I brought there to caddy. He walks by, and all he says is, "You're welcome." And then he kept walking.
Everyone should give Romo a cut with these ridiculous salaries. For Aikman, for Buck. I guess you could say Kirk Herbstreit too now. Wherever you go with these salaries in broadcasting, I bet you Collinsworth makes a fortune too. It's a Tony Romo effect. He was the quarterback that got paid so much in broadcasting, and now everyone else has a price that they got to beat. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We're going to talk some Rams next. We'll do a little first and goal. We got two teams remaining. We will knock it down to one as we preview all 32 teams before the season starts. Travis Rogers joins us next to talk some Rams. Whose house? Rams house.
Virtua Health is here. Here for you in all the moments that matter. Because they all matter. Here to be your trusted healthcare partner. From the simple to the serious, we ensure you can feel your best and live your life to the fullest. Find a Virtua physician at Virtua.org. Virtua Health. Here for good.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. NFL season is inching closer and closer. Who are the contenders and who are the pretenders? We have four downs to figure out your team's future. It's time now for First and Goal on the Zach Gelb Show.
All right, only two teams remaining. We hit on all 32 teams in the NFL before the season does get underway. Let's take a stop out in L.A., as we have to chat about the defending Super Bowl champions. And that, of course, is Travis Rogers, who joins us right now. Does a great job hosting pre and post for Rams football on 710 ESPN LA. Travis, as we preview right now the Rams with Travis Rogers, does a great job once again, Rams pre and post. How you been, Travis? Thanks for doing this.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I've been great. I'm excited for the season to start.
So we had a little run-in with Aaron Donald yesterday, and his PR person came on, and he wouldn't answer or really wouldn't give us a lot of clarity on what happened in joint practices. You being out there in L.A., have you got any understanding about what really happened between Aaron Donald and the Bengals and then how the team handled it?
Well, I think that, you know, as far as what happened, I think football practice happened, and guys spent 2 days hitting each other, and they got a little frustrated, and it got a little out of hand. As far as how they're disciplining him, no. They've kept that pretty tight-lipped that Sean McVay talked about in the final preseason, that it was handled internally, and clearly Aaron Donald doesn't want to talk about it. So as far as what they did to him, I think that it will remain a mystery.
Yeah, and from afar, and I probably told him, like, oh, hey, go take one lap around the practice field, and that was probably it. But from afar, we got some questions about this. Do you guys know locally at all, has there been any buzz on who the player he may have hit with the helmet? Like, do you guys know who that is with the Bengals or no clue whatsoever?
I don't know. No, I haven't heard too much about it. The Rams, like, as you well know, we're not really interested in getting into it too much. The Bengals didn't seem to be all that interested in discussing it either. I think everybody was pretty happy to have that thing go by the side. And thankfully for everybody involved, it happened during a practice so the NFL could look the other way, because if that happened in a exhibition game or regular game, we know that we'd be looking at a pretty long suspension.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Let's get to the next down. Travis Rogers here with us. So a lot of years when a team wins a Super Bowl, clearly the next year people go, oh, they could win it again. They're looking to repeat and be the first team to do so since the Patriots in 2004. And some years you say that and you go, I really don't see the path that it happens. For this Rams team, I don't see why they won't repeat. That NFC is not strong, and they're still the best team, in my opinion, in the NFC and the NFC West. Give me your read on this team and just the task, the tough task of repeating.
Yeah, I think you mentioned the most important part to repeating, as silly as it sounds, is that you got to get there first, right? And their path to get there is a lot easier than if they were in the other half of the draw. The NFC, as far as I see it, it's the Rams, it's the Bucks, and it's Green Bay is the three teams. And then there's a gap, and then maybe San Francisco, Philly, Dallas, Minnesota. You can throw in whoever you want after that. But the Rams have had a great deal of success against Tampa, so I like that potential matchup. And Green Bay always seems to find a way to kind of shoot themselves in the foot at one point or another. So I like it from that respect. The other part is, their best players are coming back. Their best players are still in the prime of their career, whether it's Jalen Ramsey or Cooper Kupp or Aaron Donald. Certainly Matthew Stafford was terrific for them last year. Throw in a Bobby Wagner, who's still playing at a really high level. Their best players are still some of the best players in the league, which is a really good place to start. There's a couple of questions. Losing Von Miller, I think, is a reasonably big deal. Their offensive line depth, which is always an issue for every NFL team, is you're not going to have those five guys play every single game all season long, and they're already pretty thin there to start the season. So I think if there's a soft spot, it's probably on that O-line, but they're going to be really good again, I think.
When you take a look at Matthew Stafford, I know he was dealing with the injury, and that raised an eyebrow from everyone. I'd have to imagine your confidence level heading into the season with him is still at an all-time high, also because you look at the comfortability level. Everything was new to him last year in L.A., and now he has a year experience underneath his belt.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right, and I don't think that's been said nearly enough. This was him showing up last year, getting a chance to do it in the preseason, or at least the camp part of the preseason, and then kind of having to hit the ground running. Well, he's got an entire year under his belt, and even though he's a very experienced player, even though Sean McVay is an experienced NFL head coach, I expect him to be better in year two than they were in year one. I think if you're looking like for a statistical regression, I think that's Cooper Kupp for no other reason than you can't do better than he did last year, right? When you're talking about leading the league in touchdowns, receptions, and yardage, I think Allen Robinson showing up, maybe he'll get a few targets along the way. But, Matthew Stafford was the difference between them winning the Super Bowl or not. We've seen the Rams be really good under Sean McVay, but they were a different team last year. They had a quarterback that could win games or at least extend drives for no other reason than other. He could just make a play in that moment.
Let's get to the next down. Travis Rogers here with us. You mentioned Allen Robinson. I feel like that's another move that's not getting talked about enough. I know you lose Robert Woods. He got hurt last year. He was a phenomenal player for that football team. But just like how we felt good about Stafford going to the Rams last year from Detroit, Allen Robinson, he may be one of the more underrated wide receivers in the league, and he's never really had a good quarterback in his career.
Yeah, well, not only did he not have a good quarterback, I don't even know if he's had an average one.
Yeah.
You're looking at
competent,
Blake Bortles, and Nick Foles and Andy Dalton and a very green Justin Fields and Mitch Trubisky. So he put up numbers with those dudes. So if all of a sudden you give him somebody like Matthew Stafford and you give him somebody like Sean McVay, you give him somebody like Cooper Kupp who's going to draw a ton of attention to begin with, I think he could have a monster season. I'm incredibly bullish on Allen Robinson. And, you know, and whoever that third guy may be, Van Jefferson, he's coming back from an injury in camp, but he's expected to be ready to go. Or whoever they slide in, maybe OBJ rejoins the team at some point this season. But the Rams, like I mentioned, the offensive line depth is probably a soft spot for them. Wide receiver depth is definitely a strength.
Do you get a sense that it's likely that Odell goes back to L.A.? I know you had the whole wedding thing with McVay, and they had a bunch of conversation there. Do you feel like it's likely Odell's back with the Rams?
I think it's extremely likely. You know, never say never, but it seems like the Rams are very excited about doing it. It seems like they have done everything they can to get it done. It seems like Odell is doing everything he can. The one wild card in all of this is if somebody gets hurt and needs to do something quickly and then they're willing to pay Odell for time when he's not playing, I think that that's the one thing that could jump up. But if this thing goes, you know, relatively according to plan, I'd be really surprised if OBJ wasn't a Ram sometime in October-ish.
Travis Rogers here with us. Let's get to the final down. All right, so we know Aaron Donald's the best defensive player in football. Jalen Ramsey was top 10 on that NFL 100 list as well. You bring in Bobby Wagner now for the Rams. What have been the early impressions for someone that has been a great player in this league for a long time in that NFC West, but with Seattle?
Yeah, it's a really good question, and I don't know if anybody as far as media and fans really have a great sense of that, because we've seen him in some camp situations, but we haven't seen him play. You know, you're just kind of going on what we saw when he was in Seattle, like you mentioned, and obviously he was a five-time All-Pro. He's a terrific player. The Rams, you know, they pay star players. He's a star player. They decided to go get him. They gave him a long-term deal. And hearing him talk about things, I know that he's very anxious to show the rest of the division that he can still play. And that's been the one spot that the Rams, over the last few years under Sean McVay, have kind of skipped over, for lack of a better term. They have the defensive line has been great. Aaron Donald, whether it's A'shaun Robinson or Greg Gaines or, you know, a guy like Sebastian Joseph Day, who's now with the Chargers, that's always been really good. Their secondary with Jalen Ramsey has always been pretty good. But that middle linebacker role that they've had undrafted guys. They've had seventh-round guys. They played with Troy Reader there last year, but now they don't have just a better player there. They might have one of the best in the business.
How much longer do you think Sean McVay is going to be coaching the Rams, if you had to give it a guess?
You know, I tend to skew to the long side. I've been asked that before. I think Sean McVay's a lifer. I know that the money that they're throwing around in television is astronomical, but I don't think Sean McVay is going to be really charged up to go call a Tennessee Titan Indianapolis Colt game on a Thursday night. I just don't see him getting the juice from that like he would doing, coaching a team that could go win a Super Bowl. I think he looks at his competition as Bill Walsh and Chuck Knoll and Bill Belichick and Mike Shanahan and these guys that have won multiple Super Bowls. I think he's in it for the long haul. I think he's going to be here for a while.
Well, here's the thing, too. I think he's there as long as Stafford is there. But then based off what you said, him being a lifer, him being a student of the game, and still at such a young age, I feel as if he would feel kind of intrigued to go get that quarterback in the draft and develop that quarterback with whatever and whenever life after Stafford is.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting way to look at it, because he didn't pick Goff. He got saddled with Goff. He came in after Goff had already been here during the Jeff Fisher regime. So, yeah, I think he's intrigued by all of it. I think that he is one of those guys that loves football, that loves trying to figure out that puzzle, that gets juice from the misery of trying to coach football and the losses. He is a very unique individual, and he is an unbelievable football coach. And I have a really hard time imagining him playing a bunch of golf and sitting in a TV booth. I just can't see it.
And as for Donald, he's been open about it. He talked about it yesterday. It seems two more years max, I would think, for Aaron Donald in the NFL.
Yeah, that's one that's a little different. Playing football is painful. And even if you're Aaron Donald, you probably don't want to put yourself through that all the time. I know that he's anxious to get back to his home in Pittsburgh. But, I always have a hard time when these guys, and I know that there are examples here or there, whether it's Barry Sanders or Calvin Johnson or something like that. But if he's still anything close to Aaron Donald in a couple of years, I think he's going to want to play. You can only do that for so long.
Last one for Travis Rogers. When we get inside that division, clearly, and you even said it, the Rams are the best team in the NFC West. Who's the second best team? Forget Seattle. Do you go the Cardinals, or do you take a look at the 49ers?
I think it's San Francisco. If Trey Lance is anywhere between average to maybe a little bit better than that, I think it's them. I'm not a big believer in Arizona and Kyler Murray. They're fun to watch occasionally, but that's not a team that really scares you when it comes time to big games and big plays. The Rams have beat them like a drum over the last 5 years, and the Niners are, if the Rams have a kryptonite, if Sean McVay has any, it's Kyle Shanahan. That when Sean McVay gets a second look at somebody, he almost never doesn't figure it out, but the 49ers have been a really tough puzzle for him. Shanahan does a good job with them, so I would expect that to continue. I think if Lance is somewhere between okay to better than that, I think it's San Francisco.
He's Travis Rogers. Make sure you check him out in the middays, and also Rams pre and post on ESPN 710 out in LA. And also check out the podcast host Locked On Rams on the Locked On Podcast Network. Travis, thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
There's Travis.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Watching Purdue Penn State right now. This is a classic Big Ten game, as it's 3-0 with 1 minute left in the first quarter. But Penn State is on the move. Oh, hate to see it. Receiver would have had a nice little catch. Who's that hickey of Penn State?
Keandre Lambert-Smith.
Yeah,
right in the hands.
He had the ball right in his bread basket.
Footsteps.
Good throw. Oh, went right through his fingertips. Would have put them inside the red zone for the Nittany Lions. And then we have the backyard brawl in Pittsburgh at the stadium formerly named Heinz Field. Pittsburgh up 10-7, but West Virginia, with 4 seconds left in the second quarter, in the first half here, is facing a 4th-and-1. And this is JT Daniels going up against Keaton Slovis. They're going to kick a field goal here, I would imagine, for West Virginia. They're going to go for it here. Now, I don't think they have any timeouts. I don't see any timeouts. A 12-play, 74-yard drive in 3 minutes and 19 seconds. Let's see what the decision's going to be here with 4 seconds left in the first half. And, yep, they are lining up to kick the field goal. So assuming that the kicker could nail a 24-yard field goal attempt, but you know what happens when you assume, especially with college kickers, this will go into halftime at 10-10 in the backyard brawl. Now, Pac-Man Jones, we heard yesterday, Keenan Slovis, the new quarterback of Pitt, said, bleep West Virginia. Pac-Man Jones, the former Mountaineer of West Virginia and did play in the NFL for the Bengals and Tennessee as well and a few other teams out of Pac-Man Jones, had some choice words for Pitt fans when doing an interview in Pittsburgh on the morning show on 93.7 The Fan.
Now, you know, between playing at West Virginia and then playing for the Bengals, there's a lot of people in Pittsburgh that they don't like you as a sports fan. I know you have you
don't like them either.
Well, that's okay. But I know you got people that you do like. You like Vaughn Rivers and Eric Wicks and all those. There's guys from Pittsburgh you're tight with, right? But take me through. You seem to have become one of the, I don't want to say enemy number one, but a lot of people in Pittsburgh don't like you. Does that bother you at all?
Man, Pittsburgh, eat Pitt.
Oh, jeez. Oh, boy. He's gone because I dumped him twice.
Yeah,
he had to go.
That's awesome. Now, Hickey, I got to ask you a question. Because usually when a guest curse, my eyes like light up and I make sure we dump it, you dump it, and you kind of freak out a little bit. I may need to alter my approach after hearing two things happen this week. So DA, and I was on with DA this morning, as I am now being the picker in season up against Mraz, as it's going to be Gelb up against Mraz for NFL picks this year. And we're going to pin the tail on the pig, a.k.a. pin the tail on the donkey, if Mraz loses picks to me, which he will. And we will do so at Bob's Bar this year for their big Memorial Day weekend show. And we'll have Mraz eat some cat food. Yeah, that's what we agreed upon. And if I lose, I have to dress up as Matt Rhule and just park cars and be the valet guy at Bob's Bar, just parking the cars. But anyway, I brought this up to DA off the air. He looked so calm when he had two fighters, Bellator fighters, in studio, and all they did was just curse left and right. And DA looked so calm. So I'm starting to learn in this business, when a guest curse, the host just needs to be calm and keep it going. Like Colin Dunlap there, he's laughing, having a good time, and it's really you behind the glass who has to worry.
Oh, yeah, it's producer's job.
Yeah, but I have a dump button right next to me, so I feel obligated to hit the dump button if someone curses.
It's never a bad thing to hit it twice and be double assured.
Yeah, be safe there.
Rather be safe than sorry.
Let me ask you this. If let's just say we had someone on this show, Adam Pac-Man Jones, and he said, bleep Pitt, and that was our show, and I didn't dump it, and you're the producer of this show and also operating the board, and you didn't dump it either, do you think management would approach me with the problem if someone complained and let's say we had an FCC violation, or would they just put that on you?
Probably on me.
On you. They wouldn't say, okay, Zach has a dump button next to him. He should have dumped it. It would just
no,
be
it's
on
assumed
you.
On the producer slash board op role.
All right, so now I could be comfortable. Now, I'm not going to curse, but if someone else called in and cursed or did something like that, it's on you, not me. Now, I trust you. There'd be other producers that I would not trust. I'd be some guys that would be operating the board that I would right away still dump and still dump the call because I just necessarily not sure if they would be all there when filling in. You know, the guys get distracted. I think they're listening, but then they're not. That could be a little problematic as well. You know, you think that's a safe policy?
I mean, look, it never hurts because that FCC violation is going to come in and someone's getting yelled at.
Yeah. So and it's probably going to be you then.
Better be safe than sorry.
Well, we don't curse on the show anyway.
No.
Yeah.
No, we don't.
We're not a big cursing show anyway, and we'd get fired if we did so. Anyway, college football this weekend. Oregon and Georgia. I'm intrigued by this game. I don't think Oregon's going to win. And Georgia's clearly the better team. There's just a lot of unknown with a really good program right now for Oregon. We don't know what conference they're going to be playing in a few years. It's a debut for Dan Lanning. Bo Nix, he's an inconsistent quarterback. I don't think Bo Nix is all that. And he's no longer at Auburn, now at Oregon. This is really tough. Georgia, though, they lost so much this year. But they're still loaded. Defensively, they're still great. Stetson Bennett, I think, is a very good quarterback. Georgia's going to win the game. I'm just wondering, how this game is going to play out. Give me your college football mind, Terry. You think it's going to play out?
I believe the spread is 16.5 points in favor of Georgia. I think Oregon's covering. They have a better defense than anyone is really giving them credit for
17.
Right now.
Yeah.
So it's right in that area, right? Around the Ohio State-Notre Dame spread.
Mm-hmm.
But Oregon's defense still is loaded. I know, you know, we look at head coach and, you know, you look at the kind of the offense last year not being great, losing some guys. Their defense is still really good, really aggressive. Dan Lanning has a lot of familiarity both what Georgia's defense does well and what Georgia's offense does well. And Bo Nix is one of those guys, you're right. He's so inconsistent. He's really more frustrating and bad than, let's say, good.
He had that big moment against Oregon.
He did, absolutely, at Auburn. And this, I feel like, is a game where he's not going to play good enough to win. I think he's going to play good enough to where Oregon will be within 10 points for most of the game.
You know what my play is on this one? I would not touch the line of 17, 16 and a half. If I had to, like right now, I may have put down a few shekels on it the other day. I'm quickly now turning my opinion around on this. I would not touch, if I'm advising you today, I would not touch the 17-point spread. I'd take the under 53 points. I don't love betting unders, but this seems like this is going to be a lower scoring game.
Come on, man.
53 points?
That's smart money, but no one wants to root for less points. More points, more touchdowns.
No,
you're the guy at the bar screaming, no, get down, get down.
Take a knee. It doesn't make sense for you to take a knee, but take a knee.
Coach, punt the ball. Don't go for it. Punt the ball. Field
Fourth
position.
Fourth and one at midfield. Punt, punt,
field
punt.
Position.
Cincinnati, Arkansas. We still don't know who's going to be at quarterback for Cincinnati. Luke Fickell's not telling anyone. We're going to see if it's iced tea, if it's going to be vodka, what they bring to the party. It's senior Ben Bryan or sophomore Evan Prater. That's going to be one of the potential starting quarterback in this. Those are the two options. This is a big game for Arkansas because Cincinnati, really, it's gravy whatever happens this year. You just made the college football playoff. Everyone loves Luke Fickell. We feel as if he's eventually going to take a job somewhere else. Now they're going to the Big 12. But for Arkansas, Sam Pittman had a good year last year. And I like Sam Pittman. They know how to run the football. They usually have a good offensive line. I think there's a lot of pressure on Arkansas in this game, especially with all the unknown of who's going to be playing at quarterback for Cincinnati. Arkansas should win this game.
At home, physical, KJ Jefferson now back again. I like this Arkansas team a lot this year. They'll win.
Let's go to Utah, Florida. Is this upset brewing here? You're all over Utah?
All over them.
That means there could be a potential upset. I think Utah is a phenomenal defense. I love Kyle Whittingham. When he joined us, he talked about how much of a leader Cam Rising is. Now Cam Rising's back. He has everything in front of him. Good running back room too. Florida, though, you have a new head coach. I like what Billy Napier did at Louisiana. You got a heck of a quarterback in Anthony Richardson. He's going to be a fun player to watch this year. I'll take Utah. But I think this could be a close game. I don't think Florida's going to have a bad showing.
Oh, I feel the other way. I think this is like a 2.5-point spread. I am all over Utah. Very
hammering
balanced. What was that, sorry?
Hammering the Utes?
Yes, hammering the Utes. I think they're going to win handily. Which, you know what that means.
This is going to be weird, what I'm about to say. I don't want to say it's a bad thing if Florida wins, but it actually wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if you just had a close game and you lose. Because you know how Florida fans could get. If you win the first game and you're Billy Napier, you're the savior. You're the guy. You're unbelievable. You're going to be fantastic. And then it's going to be tough to deliver after that, potentially. I know it's Utah. First game, though, big opponent, you get the win. Man, then expectations get all out of sync and all out of whack. I just something I think
so
about.
So you're saying
in this
Billy Napier is going to throw the game.
Hammer
the Utes, folks, even more.
That's not what I'm saying.
Hammering. Keep hammering away.
I just know how this works. Now, Florida hasn't been like down in the dumps. This is not like Florida State. This is not Miami. This is not Texas. Dan Mullen did an okay job there, solid job there. They were in the SEC Championship game 2 years ago with Kyle Pitts and Kyle Trask. But you go win this first game, you know how the Florida fan goes. Oh, yeah, we're going to be unbelievable. We're going to be great. Billy Napier, he's going to be the next Urban Meyer. Minus all the off-the-field stuff at Florida. All we're going to do is win, 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 win. You know how that works. Notre Dame, Ohio State. 17 points to spread. I think Ohio State's going to win by 2 touchdowns. That's not 17. Tyler Buchner in at quarterback for Notre Dame. the big question here is for Ohio State, are you going to have another early loss? They lost early on last year to Oregon. I don't think that happens. This is close. It's respectable. But Ohio State's going to show the better team. They win by 2 touchdowns.
First half, I think, will be close. Notre Dame still has a lot of talent. I think Ohio State will cover the spread.
They're the fifth best team in the country, according to the AP poll, but how much stock you want to put in that. And then finally, here's a game that I'm just looking at. Clemson's offense was horrible last year. There's a lot surrounding Clemson. And last year, I think it was like 13-8 or 14-8, something like that. They lost to Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech stinks. But they played them close last year. If you're Clemson, you better blow out Georgia Tech. Or else there's just things that, not that it goes away, but it just starts to creep back up and intensifies if DJ doesn't look good again up against a Georgia Tech team. You need DJ Uiagalelei to go put up 5-6 touchdowns this weekend and just absolutely destroy Georgia Tech. If that's a close game, yikes. It's going to be a lot of conversation, even if you win, about Clemson this upcoming next week.